pray.
Blessed Father, we want to thank you for another beautiful morning that you have granted us worthy to partake of. Thank you for this past week, your cares and your mercy, grace upon our lives. We started the week with many people who by this moment they are not alive again. Lord, we thank you because you have graciously spared our lives that we might continue to serve your purpose, that we might continue to make yourself known to us, to be ready for your coming. We thank you. Thank you for providing for our needs. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for standing on our behalf to frustrate all plans of the enemy. We thank you. Thank you for your healing hands upon the sick. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for deliverances and your breakthrough, both physically and spiritually. Thank you for, Lord God Almighty, making yourself known to us and working upon us to make us ready for your soon appearing. The time is gradually fleeting. Each passing day, we get closer to the grave or get closer to rapture. Lord, as mortal men, you are the only help that we have. We look unto you this moment that you be gracious to us and help us, O Father, as individuals. Our lives are in your hands. If you don't help us, nobody can help us. We all need the people. We need your intervention in our lives. We need you to come quickly, Lord Jesus, to help us, to fix our problems. As we call upon you today, as you have made a way for us today, all that you have provided to attend to our needs, to address our problems, to solve our problems, to give us solution to our problems. Lord, you give us grace to surrender to you. You address your people by the word, because you are the word. Lord, and that's the solution to our problem. Believe faith in that word. May you help us, eternal Father. Anoint us with the faith of the Son of God, that we might see your unfailing realities. Let it be, Father, forgive our sins, our shortcomings. Let your blood atone for us, Lord. Lord, the entire service of the day will come to you that you take preeminence, Lord. Let the blessings be ours, and all the glory will be yours, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 21. As I said last Sunday, and that's exactly what we're going to do, we want to address the question, though I may not be able to, we may not be able to preach everything that's in the future home, but I believe that with what we have gone through, we have struck a major part of it. And I believe that, you know, by the time we come for the final summary, we'll have said that we have done our best. Praise be to God. So as we read from verse 1 of Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and womangers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto precious, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. You can please be seated. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city, the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear crystal. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth the emerald, and emerald, rather. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, atopas. The tenth, chrysoprasus. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs. So every several gate was of 1 pair. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent gold. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city have no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We welcome ourselves again to the Sunday school as we continue with the topic, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. focusing on a particular question that I was asked in the course of the teaching on this future home. Let me pick it here. Can you see the? I want to read the question. Here is the question. I want us to listen to it. The question says, well, after greeting, says, where are we living during the 1,000 years millennium? Where are we living during the 1,000 years millennium? Say, I understood the first square city is different from the millennium. Thanks. As simple as that question sounds, I can take a woman to answer it. Because it's also a deep, that is why I didn't attend to it. In the course of, it will just take me away from this sort of thing. But nevertheless, we have only one service to attend to it. From what we have gone through in the future home, I want us to understand some basic things that will help us, you know, to put things together in the message. I want you to pay attention. Don't allow any distraction. Of course, the millennium, just like the questionnaire says, is a 1,000-year space. And the prophet said we are still in time. We are still in time. And the millennium is a space of time that is meant for the honeymoon, you know, which was a type of one day that Adam, I mean, the honeymoon that Adam could have spent, the type of the seventh day. The type of the seventh day. We have gone through millennium in the course of this. How the prophet typed it. Now, during the millennium, we are going to be here. Who are the people that will be here during the millennium? As we know that there are five groups of people that are considered in redemption, do we have it listed in the computer, those five groups? Can you project and let us so we deal with them? The five groups, the first is the bride. The first is the bride. Then the second group is not chronological. I'm just fixing them like this. I'm not saying. But God's priority is the bride. God's priority among this group is the bride. Because it's the bride that will stay with him in the four square city. And understand it also that when we say the four square city, we're not talking about the entire half. The four square city is just the headquarters of the entire half. So the king and the queen will live eternally in the four square city. The king is our Lord Jesus, and the queen is the bride. And the bride comprises all the bride of God from Genesis to the last person that will come to the body of Christ before rapture takes place. So it's not a little bitty group. It's a lot of. That's why Daniel says that thousands and thousands and thousands. That's the only way we could describe it. So then we have the 144,000 Jews. Then we have the 50 Jews, those crying under the altar. And then we have the foolish virgins, then the righteous ones that will be given eternal life for being good to the bride.
These are the five groups, as the prophet had taught us, that are considered in redemption. As out of these five, nobody. But of these five, the first one is receiving salvation here, receiving judgment here, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit here. So if anybody in this age is not filled with the Holy Spirit and is in the message of the hour, you are no longer guiltless. You are no longer ignorant. There is no alternative. We can't fall to the 144,000 Jews because those are Jews. Neither can the person fall to the 50 Jews. They are Jews. The foolish virgin, you can't fall in there because these people didn't know the message of the hour. The prophet said, if they know it and they don't accept it, then they are condemned. And then you have the righteous. God determines their numbers. He determines the condition under which they will come in. Praise be to God. Now, of this group, only two of them will be in the millennium. The bride and the 144,000 Jews. I want you to follow very closely. The bride and the 144,000 Jews. God has his own program laid out that man may disagree, but unbelief does not hinder God. Yeah. We have talked about the chronological events, how things will take place. From here, if rapture takes place now, so the next thing that will happen, the bride leaving here, then the great tribulation begins. That is going to span a space of 3.5 years. During which the 144,000 Jews will be ministered to by Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah, the prophet said, the gospel will return to the Jews. The grace that we now have will return to them. This gospel that they speak to us will return to them. The prophet said, Moses and Elijah will preach to them. They will also receive the Holy Ghost. Now, that is scriptural because they are going to be in the millennium. And the Bible told us that, and the rest of the dead live not till after the 1,000 years. So if this one will be in the millennium, they will have to necessarily have the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life. Because the prophet told us that God will raise them up after the great tribulation to be in the millennium. God will raise them up to be in the millennium. You say that's difficult. Is it difficult? That what God promised. Praise be to God. Now, in the sermon, the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel, in the 70 weeks of Daniel's teaching, this thing seems to be, I think it's the bass is too much. I don't know those. Well, if it is okay, no problem. In that sermon, the prophet, I was saying that we need to understand some basic things about the message of the hour. There are times that before the true revelation of a teaching which God has allotted into restoration, the prophet has made attempt to preach on them. And when the true revelation came, he preached the correct thing. That one does not make the prophet a false prophet. Because in fulfillment of Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The prophet said, not when he started. Not when he started. Are you following me now? Yeah, when the time comes for the revelation to be made known. That started in 1963. March. When the angels appeared to the prophet. The seven angels appeared to him and lifted him up and told him that he should go back to Tifsin, you know, so that he can
go back to the home, and then you go and preach on the revelation of the seven seals. Previously, there have been things that the prophet have preached, which he made us to know. Even the revelation of the seven seals, that the angel told him that he should go back home to go and prepare to preach. He had made an attempt to preach it one night, those seven seals straight. And he was saying that the white horse rider with a bow in his hand was the Holy Spirit with the arrow of love shooting into the heart of men. That's what he thought about that. Isn't it? Have you read the message? That's what he said. The prophet made mention, he made reference to him in the revelation of the seven seals. But when the true revelation came, it was a different thing. The prophet acknowledged that it's a different thing from what I used to think. Because this is now a revelation, a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. When in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the Laodicean church messenger, Ephesians, we know it, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Am I correct, please? Seven of them. So he is the last, is the messenger to the last church age. So in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. From that moment onward, when the revelation of the seven seals was given, God began to give further revelation of events that will happen. And I'm saying this because when you go and pick the sermon, the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel, you will see there the prophet mentioned the first square city in the millennium. Are you with me? Alright. Let's just trust that this time will be sufficient for us. But when he was preaching it in 1964, he made a statement, here is a revelation. The first square city has eternal materials. The temple that we are going to live in the millennium is going to be destroyed thereafter. Are you with me? It's going to be destroyed after the war of Armageddon. Gog and Magog will be destroyed. Everything on the face of that will be destroyed, will be renovated with fire. There will be no element here. During the millennium. The temple that the Jews will build, that they are preparing to build now, that they are gathering the red ephah to prepare for the Messiah. That temple they are going to build, they are warming up, they are preparing, make materials ready. They are going to build it the same spot where Solomon built the first temple, which was destroyed because of their unbelief, and the mosque of Omar is standing there today. That is where both the Jews and the Muslims are worshipping in Jerusalem there. So that space, that particular space, that is where the Jews will build the temple that we will use in the millennium. Are you with me? All right. So let's 70 weeks of Daniel. All right. Okay. We talked about the people in the millennium. Now let me exposition. Sorry, let's come to the exposition of the seven seals. Now this 144,000. Now this 144 in plural. This in plural. T H E S. Now this 144,000. So that we please be fast. Now this
44,000 are not in the bride. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, they are called virgins, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. In Revelation 14, 4. Search that. In Revelation 14, colon 4. I want you to. Yeah. Now, this 144,000 are not in the bride. In Revelation 14, 4, they are called virgins. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The fact that they have not defiled themselves with women shows that they are eunuchs. That is Matthew 19:2. Jesus Christ talks about eunuchs. The eunuchs were the keepers of the bridal chambers. They were attendants. Notice that they do not sit in the throne, but are before the throne. No, they are not in the bride, but will be in the glorious millennial reign. The 144,000. And are they going to be there without eternal life? They will have to be given eternal life when they are here. Because they are not coming before the white throne judgment to receive eternal life. They already have. And they are not going to sit in the throne. It's a different program God has for them. Different from the other three that we display there. We then see that when these last of Israel have been joined in love to the law, and the enemy have been destroyed, God will prepare the holy mountain, his new garden of Eden, for the bride and his and his attendant for the 1,000 years honeymoon upon the earth, as Adam and Eve were in the garden and did not finish out the 1,000 years. Now Jesus, our last Adam and his Eve, the true church, will fulfill all the plan of God. So Jesus, our Lord, will be there in the first in the millennium. The bride will be there in the millennium. The 144,000 Jews will be there in the millennium. Alright. Now this is fourth purpose. 6107:30. So paragraph 118. Are you there? Paragraph 118. Yeah. What is the now? If we go back to Daniel chapter 9, you will see that the angel, you know, itemizes what will be accomplished within the 70 weeks. Are you with me? The angel Gabriel that visited Daniel itemized a number of things that will be accomplished within the 70 weeks that were allotted to the people of Daniel, to the Jews. And so, that's why the prophet picked that sermon alone. Sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to them. There were six things that were to be accomplished before the 70 weeks will expire. Part of it is still on. And that's the last part of it will be the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Now, what is the most holy? The most holy, as you say there, to anoint the most holy. Maybe I should just go there straight. To anoint the most holy. Let's come to Daniel chapter 9. Most holy. You can present it to us first. Okay, go down. I don't want us to waste time. Yeah, we don't have. Okay, go down. Go down, go down. Go on, go on, go on. Mm-hmm. Go on, go on. Until I tell you to stop. All right. 2024. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Watch the holy city. Upon thy holy city, which is Jerusalem. To finish the transgression, one. And to make an end of sins, two. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, three. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, four. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, five. And to anoint the what?
The most holy.
To anoint the most holy. And these are the sixfold purposes of Gabriel visiting Daniel. You get it? And that's what that sermon is based upon. So let's go back. To sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. So the last one is what we are looking at here, because it's what concerns the millennium. So, what is the most holy? To my way of seeing it, to anoint the most holy. That was the last instruction. So, what is the most holy? To my way of seeing it, which I believe I can prove it by the scripture, is to anoint the most holy, which will be the tabernacle that will be used during the what?
Millennium.
The tabernacle that will be used during the millennium. Now listen close. See where I got it described. Now that tabernacle that will be used in the millennium was described in three scriptures. The event that happened, how it was anointed previously by Moses, and in Chronicles 2, how it was also anointed in the time of Solomon, and then in Ezekiel, what the prophet saw, prophet Ezekiel saw, event how the temple, the partitions in the temple, and the rest of it, the structure of the temple. So let's move on. Now, listen, we see I got it described in Ezekiel. I will give you that Ezekiel to read. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 1 to 6. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. Then 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And the prophet told us that when the... Okay, I'm not going to read those scriptures here. Now, I mean the 43rd chapter, first and sixth verses. Let's go back to Ezekiel and find how he pictures it in the millennium. How they will anoint it. And let's just read a little bit here now and see what he's going to do in the millennium. Anoint it in Ezekiel 43. Alright, and now let's begin with the first verse. You can read the whole thing after you got home. Of course, you that's putting it down. Now, watch. Description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium. Now, anyone, any reader that knows that from Ezekiel the 40th chapter until about the 44th chapter is nothing in the world but the millennium. From chapter 40 to 44 of Ezekiel is talking about the millennium. Take note of that one, read it. Temple being erected. Talking is in the world is talking about the millennium temple being erected on earth. You see, everyone knows that. See, when the glory of the Lord will fill it, and so forth like that. Now we are going to just describe the temple in the 43rd chapter. It's written there. So please go ahead and read it. This is our time, is not enough. I will not rush it because we are answering the question. When we are coming with the conclusion, we will blend everything together. And if it takes us another week or two, we will not mind. Nobody's giving me time to stop. Yeah, I have to be frank with you, you know. But I just feel, as I stand there, I feel that many people are feeling this thing should have ended. If you are part of that, you know it. If I am saying the truth, you will know I am saying the truth. You will know that when we stand here, sometimes we feel certain things. You get it? I just feel that, oh, this thing should have been concluded and the rest of it. I just feel it. So that's why I say, okay, let's just bring it to conclusion. May God be our help. I was talking to, maybe with my hand it here, let me just bring this. I mean, somebody was talking to me, you know. Okay, let me just say this here. When I was doubling
as a deacon and a minister, I usually have it rough the way some sisters will not cooperate with the order of the church. I wasn't taking it easy with them. My office as a deacon is stricter than the office of the pastor. That's what the major said. The deacon is stricter. Pastor is pastor. He's the shepherd. But the deacon has to be strict to maintain the order of the church. So I had issues with many sisters. Sisters majorly because they won't comply with the dressing and the rest of it. So I was addressing somebody outside by that time who didn't dress properly and the rest of it. And, you know, something was going on there. The mother of the sister was, you know, not taking it easy with me. While that was going on there, inspiration came upon Pastor. He was here on the platform. He was addressed. He couldn't see. You can see that plane that you can't see anybody. I was out there in front of the. That shed. Can you see the shed here? You can see it. We are the soak away. Is it the septic? Soak away there. There, in that place. That was the area. We can't see it from here. Pastor was there on the platform. And he began to say, you that we argue with the deacon when the deacon is correcting your children. He's correcting your daughter. I just withdrew. I said, well, the issue is, the problem is solved. Let me tell you, God is here. He knows our thoughts. The one of the proof that we know God is there is that if anything happens in your family, you have not told anybody, and you come to the church and the minister preach about it, and you later find out that the preacher didn't know anything about it, is the proof that God is here. Because it discerns the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the people. That's where God will tell you that he's here. He knows what happened in your home, and he anointed the servant to talk about it, to let you know that he sees it. And he's here right in the church here. May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto you for making it possible for us to witness the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that just passed, and the services and the blessings, your cares, your protection, the provisions, O God. We cannot thank you enough. Master, we have just heard your word. It has touched so many places in the message. Your patience is virtue. We have to take time to look into those things and bless them the way the prophet brought them, just as your servant is laying down before us. Help us, O God, not to rush to conclusion. Help us, O God, to take time and be able, with your help, to be able, O God, to have perfect knowledge and understanding of what your prophet is talking about. Thank you, righteous Father. You that have given the fivefold ministry, your prophet has taught us the how the ministry of a teacher is. He said it's far beyond that of a pastor and the rest of it, because of the ability you give it to put the scriptures together. Help us, Heavenly Father, as individuals. Even there be areas we are not cleared about now, as your servant has said, it will take time to talk to us about it. We look at it. We pray the cause of it. As we are praying, may you help us as individuals, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Replenish your servant for the virtue that has left it as we lead the rest of the services of the day into your hands. Remember your servant that are out of the church into other places, the one in Abeokuta, the one in Sapele. May you be with them, O Father. Use them as channels of blessings to your children. It's our prayers. Let all the glory and honor be there. Why the blessings ever remain ours. In Jesus' most holy name, we are praying with all faith and thanksgiving. Amen.